I think I'm on. Yes, I am. Good morning. Pastor Guthrie, thank you for asking me to preach this morning. I'm honored and I'll do my best. Well, here we are at the close of another year. Seems to go so fast the older we get. And at least for me, I always like to look back a little bit on some victories and some things that maybe weren't so good. Evaluate faithfulness and so forth. But my focus this morning is going to be more, I hope, for all of us to look forward to the new year and continue to build on the things that we were successful in doing and be able to work through and grow through those things that maybe weren't so successful. The scriptures are that we have today for our readings are very appropriate for our evaluation. And I'm going to read from the Colossians verse that we had today. I think it bears repeating. And then I'll refer to 147 Psalm because I think that's helpful and hopefully make some application that will be helpful. The Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. Be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. May God bless his word. I've always been fascinated with this particular portion of scripture because it's that idea of putting something on. At least the guys, I know you know what I mean. If you have that comfortable sweatshirt, that pair of jeans, probably have holes in them, but they're the most comfortable things on the planet. When you put them on, you feel very comfortable. It's time to relax, you know, when you're at home. But you don't go out in public with those things. But this putting on is, this isn't for sitting down on the couch and watching football. The putting on that Paul's instructing us with has some very serious import. I think the idea of putting something on it's and these are righteous attributes, not our natural condition, you might say. So the urging of putting them on indicates that we're to put them on and actually live them. They're not something to contemplate per se, something we actually do as in our everyday lives. Recently, I had the opportunity to do some theater. And we did The Gift of the Magi at Players Ring, and it was a musical version of it. And we worked, and we actually started late summer, so it was a long rehearsal season. Then finally, somewhere a couple of weeks before our performances, we actually got to go into the Players Ring itself. We actually got to put our costumes on. And it's an amazing thing. Up until that point, you're memorizing lines, the music, the dancing, the steps, and so you should have seen me dance. Fortunately, I wasn't the star. But making it all work and so forth, and it was at that point where we put on the costumes, and all of a sudden I became Mr. Barnaby. It's kind of a very strange thing. I actually became him for that period of time. And then with the setting and everything else. And it kind of reminds me of when we put on these areas of character and holiness that Paul is writing about, it is something like that. In other words, we become the righteousness of God. Barnaby was a good guy, but he wasn't the righteousness of God per se. But you get my point. It's something you put on to wear and to move forward. It's interesting because this is referring to you putting on so you can go forward. In Psalm 147, which is interesting, that Paul prayed from, I just find that how God works sometimes is wonderful. He and I didn't talk about anything prior to this. But I'm going to read through the psalm again, but stop along the way, because I think there's an important pattern here for us. Because to put something on, it's one thing to say, to put these things on, we have to let the Word of God dwell in us. That's what's going to empower us, the Holy Spirit. And in the Colossian verse where it says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, that's very important. And I think Psalm 147 gives us some instruction on how that happens, or certainly one of the ways that happens. And the ultimate outcropping of that from the singing and the talking to one another with grace in our hearts ultimately gets us to whatever we do in word or deed. We'll do in the name of the Lord Jesus and accomplish the Father's business. That's just before I go to Psalm 147, I've recently finished up what they call Christmas Stroll down a Strawberry Bank. And I think it's my fourth year there. And I developed a character from the 1820s. And I'm a visitor from England. And I'm a choir master. And so my character is singing songs from that era and, you know, before. I can't really sing anything after because I'm in the 1820s. And so most of these songs are from that time frame. And I'd go around with my red book and hand them out to others, encourage people to sing along. And my focus in my character was when you're singing, particularly these beautiful Christmas hymns, it's very difficult to be angry at one another. Geez, I just slipped into my accent. I'm sorry. And it's true. And not only that, you end up kind of being transported to a better spot. You forget your problems. You forget the challenges. And you get into the spirit and the celebratory nature of what, for us, Christmas is. So that I see the power in the application of that verse, singing songs to one another. And in the public square, no less. It's kind of a nice opportunity to do that. But there is power in the music. There's power in the words. And that coming from heaven. Oh, and by the way, my great-great-grandfather is Isaac Watts, the hymn writer. I just made that up. But, so my character is a composite of what I studied historically. And then I encourage people to take what they've learned from the singing and apply their faith in the year ahead. Something simple like everyone knows somebody that needs someone just to listen to them, or someone who just needs some help around the house or whatever. It doesn't take a lot of money or a lot of time, but just kind of focus on that and do it just one a week. It's 52 times, you know, advances. And if all of us, whatever the group of people are, I say, imagine, we just changed the world, didn't we? So the message is very encouraging that way. So now to Psalm 147. I don't know about you. Oh, because then I'd usually conclude with something to the effect, of course, I'm telling you all these nice things, I have to do it myself. Yeah, that's the challenge for all of us. We don't have the power within ourselves. So I'm encouraged because of Psalm 147. And I see a pattern that I'll share with you here in a moment. It begins with the exhortation or command, you could even say. Praise ye the Lord, for his good, to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely or comely, which means attractive to look at. Did you ever see the people of God? And when we were singing the Nicene Creed, I could hear some young voices very loud. It was just wonderful. Absolutely glorious. That's what praise looks like, I guess. At any rate, so we're commanded to praise. And then we have several statements of things that God does. The verbs in this psalm are incredible. Moving on. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts, which is good because I am an outcast. We all are. He heals the broken in heart. He binds up their wounds. He tells the number of the stars. And, of course, he created them, so he can name them. He can tell the number of them. And great is the Lord and great power. His understanding is infinite. He is all knowledge and everlasting. He lifts up the meek. So he builds up Jerusalem, he lifts up the meek, and he casts the wicked down to the ground. These are all action items. God's very much involved in his creation and with us. But then we have in the next verse, sing unto the Lord. So we have action being done. We started out with praise, the action's being done. Now we're exhorted to sing unto the Lord in thanksgiving, sing praise upon the harp unto our God. And then we continue. Some more action. He covers the heaven with clouds. He prepares the rain for the earth. He makes grass to grow upon the mountains. He gives to the beast their food, and to young ravens which cry. And a teaching that he doesn't delight in the strength of our horses, our possessions, the things like that. Or if you happen to be a physical specimen that's just really tough and strong, doesn't really take delight in that stuff. But takes pleasure in them that fear him and in those that hope in his mercy. So here we have the God who's made creation and does all these marvelous things, cares about us individually and those who respect and fear him. And then we have an exhortation to praise the Lord. Again, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, praise thy God, O Zion. And then we have another several verses. He has strengthened the bars of thy gates. Sounds like security, protection. He has blessed thy children within thee. He makes peace in thy borders. He fills thee with the finest of wheat. He makes peace in thy borders. He fills thee with the finest of wheat. And he sends forth his commandment upon earth. And his word runneth very swiftly. He sends forth his commandment. And his word runneth very swiftly. Now, those of us who are waiting for answers to prayer from time to time, it doesn't seem like God's word is moving very quickly at times. But I think you would agree with me, at least every Christmas, I seem to run into the point where I think I have another week for shopping or what have you, and all of a sudden I don't. I've only got a couple of days. I don't know where the time went. Time moves swiftly sometimes in that kind of a context. And in God's timing of things, his word and his accomplishments work swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scatters the hoarfrost. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. He sends out his word. And again, it's said again, but this time the word melts the snow. He causes the wind to blow, the waters flow, and he shows his word unto Jacob, his statutes and judgments unto Israel. So there's quite a pattern there. I see very much almost the idea of worship with the praise, then several verses of what God does. Then we have worship again with an exhortation to praise, and then a litany of things that God does again, and then we gather again for praise. And it says, the pattern just sounds to me as we worship today and we're going to go forward in the week ahead, that we image God and that we're going to image him in much of what we see here. It's quite an awesome promotion we just got. Now, we're not going to make the stars, but some of us are going to count them. Some of us are going to research them and do the science behind them. Some of us, none of us are going to, we can't create frost and that type of a thing. But what we can do is we can gather together those who are hurting. What we can do is we can heal those with a broken heart and at least not be the cause of it. We can help lift up the meek, those who are kind of lost their way, and be a word of encouragement. And that sometimes can be a tough thing, but if you think about it, it doesn't really take a whole lot. You don't even have to get your wallet out for that. You just have to have an eye for it. And I think our scriptures here are kind of instructing us here to let that word of Christ dwell in us. And when it dwells in us, it isn't so we can sit somewhere and meditate and just feel just wonderful. It's the idea you receive and you it passes through you and so forth, and you work it out. That's why it says, whatever you do in word or deed, you do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Pretty powerful psalm. And what I think he's trying to do, and it's interesting, Paul's prayer, which is very heartfelt and very appropriate. As some of you know, I've learned how to cook. Not very well, but I've learned how to cook. And I enjoy cutting things up, and I actually have a nice set of cutlery. Is that what you call a set of knives and all that? And there's a bunch of them in the block. And when I first got them, I enjoyed sharpening them and so forth. And it's turned out that there's one or two of them, and I use them all the time because I'm comfortable with them. It feels good in my hands. But there's other tools that are really more appropriate for other things. But I like to stay and use the ones I'm comfortable with. Don't want to really explore, you know. Well, I think we're like that set of knives, all of us, individually and corporately. God's trying to get us out of our comfort zone from time to time. We're all comfortable with the certain things that we do. And they're admirable. They're all good things. But there's other things God wants more for us. There's a play that I'll be directing in the spring. And the essence of the story ultimately ends up as about a woman who, it's actually a dark comedy, but there's a very serious point to the story. And this woman, from where she starts to where she ends up, is a fascinating journey that she never saw coming. But if we likened and use my illustration of cutlery, she, instead of just being comfortable with the one or two knives, she could use the whole set and create wonderful, wonderful things from it. But she went through the gauntlet of challenge and so forth. But I think that's what God wants for us. But the encouraging thing is, he, in Psalm 147, he gives us, that's who he is. That's what he does. And he's created us in his image. And that's what he wants us to do. I mean, within our limitations, of course, but within faith. Our assets and the things that we've acquired, our physical acumen, our skills, that type of thing. If it isn't unto him, it doesn't mean anything to him. What matters is that humbleness, that being in fear of him. He's not impressed by what you've accomplished on your own, but he's very, very pleased when you present it to him and do it in fear. So I would just say that if we use that example of the knives, none of us are using all the knives. I'm pretty sure. So I'd encourage us to consider that. One of the great things that I've been able to accomplish this past year, and again, it wasn't part of my plan. I didn't start out that way. It was just something to earn a few bucks, was to basically, I'm a docent or house interpreter at Strawberry Bank during this season. And when you're first learning about the history and the houses and so forth, it's a bunch of facts, and you try and remember everything. And after a while, and it's very uncomfortable, by the way. It's not easy to step in and do that. Then all of a sudden, you begin to know the people that you're studying and so forth, and it becomes much easier to talk about. And it becomes like a story. And you're just telling the story. And the story is magnificent. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the people of the story. We have the greatest story to tell. And too many people, as I saw on a Facebook post by one of you, there's many people still around who haven't celebrated their first Noel. They have sung the song 100 times, but they've never celebrated the first Noel. We have an opportunity in the years ahead here, and particularly 2019, to begin taking out the other knives of the box, to get out of our comfort zone a little bit. Let the word of God dwell in us and let it come out in all that we say and do. When we gather for worship, we're letting the word dwell in us, for sure. So we're doing a lot of good things and the right things. And just from I can't leave the New England Patriots out of my discussion this morning. Not a great year, has it? Some of you may be pretty disappointed if we presume 11 and 5. Who knows? We still have Tom Brady. We have Belichick. I think the Patriots are a good example, maybe for our work here at Tri-City Covenant Church. We've had some glorious years. And I've been fortunate to have been around a fairly long part of it. But some of you have been here from the beginning. And some of you are new by birth. We have grandchildren and a wonderful future ahead. But from year to year and just through the course of time, the Patriots and nobody's ever going to be at a level where you don't have the bumps in the road, but there's changes. Yeah, some people have come and gone, have drifted away. But like at the Patriots, you have to move forward. And it's a normal course of events, I think, sometimes for the Lord. He's trying to toughen us up. The one thing, if the Patriots are successful this year, they're going to have to do something differently than they've been doing. They're going to have to get out of some comfort zones, the coaching, the battle plan for the game, the skill sets, what Tom's comfortable with, the blocking schemes, all those elements of the game. Someone's going to have to change somewhere. Someone's going to have to come out of that comfort zone. And it's so with us. And so right here as we go to 2019, God's asking us to come out of our comfort zone. And the great news is His word is so powerful. Our God is very powerful. We have a story to tell others, to tell each other, to remind one another. So we get to worship, and then we go out and, in God's image, go establish His kingdom. But we're not going to do it with two knives. We're going to do it with the whole knife box and work towards that. And I think that's, for me, that helps as I approach the new year. The great thing about coming with a confession of faith is that whatever baggage you've created the past year, don't let the devil bury you with that. God's forgiven you for that. Let's move on. Let's move forward. Let's build on successes. With the people of the story, there's people who haven't heard the first no well, and many of us who have sung many of them. And for those of us that have seen many of those no wells, we need to extend our knife box. We need to be a person, if we were on the Patriots team, work very hard and figure out something I can do to help solve a particular problem. Kind of have that mindset and that bent. Wow. What a great way to end 2018. Remembering that we're made in the image of God, that His word comes to us speedily, as Psalm 147 says, and that it empowers us and that we can share it with others and actually become a different person. So God bless you, my friends. I love serving with you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to examine your word. And in my poor attempt to share, I ask that you anoint it, in the sense that you're trying to perfect your people, mature your people. And in so doing, Lord, that you would strengthen our church, both in number and in quality, that you would strengthen our communities that we live in, and that as we see so many areas that, just like the Patriots, there's a lot of pain involved sometimes, and what we are used to for success may be taken away from us from time to time. But you are the God of victory. You've made us a victorious people. And we need to learn that victory is not to be taken for granted, but to be accomplished with faith in Thee, listening to Your word, allowing it to dwell within us, and to go out and establish Your kingdom. I pray Your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.